Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
You're listening to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show, episode 11. Hey there, it's Kate Hartley here, and welcome to another episode of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. This is the show where I interview guests whose stories will inspire you to take the steps you need to create the life you want and educate you with tips and strategies to help you overcome your roadblocks. My guests all have one thing in common, and that is the passion to consistently take action, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals in life. On this show, you also hear what's working and what's not working in people's lives, the challenges they face, and more importantly, how they overcome those challenges, using their resourcefulness to get to where they want to be. Before I get into the details of my intentionally creative guest today, remember that we would love you to call in and ask your questions. The number tonight is 323-642-1156. Again, I'll repeat that. It's 323-642-1156. And if you want to find a link to call into the show, if you go onto my Facebook page, which is flourishtherapy.co.uk, you will find a link there for it. So, and also you'll be able to listen to the replay of this interview via my Facebook page and also my website, and they are both called Flourish Therapy. So now back to today's episode. I can't wait to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Lauren Lapointe, and Lauren is a creativity coach with a business degree and business background who took the leap 15 years ago to leave her cushy office job and start a creative business. Since then, she's become a successful national touring singer-songwriter in the United States who has released 3 critically acclaimed CDs, played at the nation's top listening rooms, and received international radio play. She's a writer, a yoga and meditation teacher, and she runs the Intentional Creative, a business that specializes in offering coaching and online programs, and has served over 12,000 students and clients around the world. She loves working with dedicated, passionate creatives, and her mission is to empower clients and give them the tools, skills, confidence and support to manifest their creative dreams into successful businesses so they can enjoy fulfilling, meaningful lives with flexibility and freedom. That sounds like a recipe for success. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Lauren Lapointe. Lauren, welcome to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. How are you today?
Hi, Kate. I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me here.
Oh, so happy to have you on the show here. And I'm really impressed with how much you've achieved so far. Lauren, can you give people an idea of sort of share your story and who you are and kind of, you know, what your background is and how you got to where you are right now?
Yeah, sure. Well, I grew up in Canada and then I moved to the U.S. For love. And that was many years ago with my current husband. And yeah. And I, you know, I'm really a late bloomer to music. I went to school and got a business degree and I worked in business jobs and, you know, and there are things I enjoyed about that, but it really didn't feel like my soul's calling, you know? And so finally, I'll just give the quick version, but, you know, finally one Monday morning, I was like, this is it. Life's too short. And I gave my notice and I decided to be a musician. And it was kind of funny because I really didn't have any background or training in music. People were like, what? And I just kind of dove in and did it and, you know, and worked really hard and learned a lot. And I was able to do that successfully. So that's why, you know, eventually I transitioned into creativity coaching, which I do alongside my music, because I know how it feels to finally take that dive and follow your dreams, follow your passion, and how life-changing it can be and empowering. And so I really like to help other people find their voices and do the same thing.
That was one big choice to ditch the cushy office job and decide to follow your dream, even though you didn't have any sort of specific, was it that you didn't have any specific training in singing or have you ever,
No.
Have you always had a good voice?
You know, I didn't know I had. I had no idea I was musical. I loved music. I always really enjoyed listening to it, but I really didn't know. I mean, and I got a guitar after college, and, you know, I started learning a few songs, started writing a few songs. But when I took that plunge, you know, I didn't really have like a repertoire. And I remember I just started applying for gigs, and I got an offer to play a 4-hour gig at a restaurant. We live in a very touristy area in southern US, so there's a lot of opportunity for acoustic musicians to play like on a veranda or porch or something. So I was invited to play a 4-hour gig, and they said, "Do you have 4 hours worth of material?" I said, "Sure." And I had, so I had 3 days. Yeah, so 3 days. And I just learned, you know, there's a lot of 3-chord songs out there. So I just got to work, and my friend had to come down and show me how to turn on the PA. This was many years ago. I mean, now I'm like an old pro and doing all this, but at the time I was like, what? And that's kind of how I got started. I just really dove in and kind of jumped in, I guess. You know, they say some people learn to swim, you just kind of jump into the water. Well, that's what I did with my music. Was I just jumped in. I just had really this epiphany that life was too short and I really wanted to do it.
That is just such a good story to hear, and also so courageous, because you know, like you said, you had no formal background in music. All you knew is that you could sing, and you kind of learned how to strum a guitar.
I could get by, you know. I could get by, and fortunately people liked it. I was glad, and they didn't mind that it was a little rough around the edges, and I just kind of went on from there. So yeah, it just was one of those life-changing things. Yeah.
And do you write your own music too, Lauren?
Yeah, that's really my main passion, is writing my own songs and performing my own songs. So that's the thing I love to do. But I'm very happy to play other people's songs too, because there's a lot of great music out there. And I think that's actually how I've learned, because I never did any formal training. You can learn a lot by studying other people's songs and just, you know, that's how I've learned to sing and just do different styles of singing and learn how to play guitar and how to songwrite too, because you can really analyze how the songs are written. So it's a good way to learn.
You were obviously supposed to do it, weren't you? Because, you know, you've had success in it, and it's just kind of fallen in your lap. Or, well, you've made it fall in your lap, but, you know, you've got out there and it's working well for you. Tell me, this is something I never knew or can never understand. When do you write the words first and then add the music to it? Or do you write the music first and then add the words? Or do you kind of mix it all together?
Yeah, I know. Songwriters love this question, and we'll talk about it for hours, which I will not do, I promise. But for me, yeah, I know. For me, and especially when I started writing songs, I did the two together. But I have a lot of friends who will do it one way or the other. And I've since tried different approaches. Like sometimes I'll start with the lyrics and then add the melody. But I'm really, I write a lot better when I have an instrument with me, or I have a melody, I should say. And then I can put the words to it. I mean, I love to write as well. Like I'll write poems and stuff, but those are different than writing lyrics. Like sometimes, you know, words that go to music are a different thing. So I usually need to have something musical to accompany me.
Oh, I'm blown away with that. That's so cool. So tell me, how does your singer-songwriter career meld with your creativity coaching business then?
Yeah, I mean, that was just something that kind of happened organically. I mean, fast forward many years, I've been doing music for a few years by this point. And I think I had my third CD out by then, or at least two anyways. And, you know, I'd been touring and having some success with the music. And people just started asking me, you know, I just started getting, you know, helping people with their creativity, you know, not just musicians, but other people too, because they kind of saw me following my passion and making it work, you know, like earning a living from it and approaching it like a profession and that sort of thing. So it just sort of happened organically. And then when I saw some training for creativity coaching, and I thought, it just clicked, you know. I was like, this is the right fit. And when it's funny, because when I told people that I was going to train to be a creativity coach, everybody laughed and said, "You're already a creativity coach, Lauren." So that was really encouraging. but yeah, I did that, and go ahead.
So what does a creativity coach do, for instance?
Yeah, well, I kind of do two things. What I started doing and what I still love to do is to help people with their creativity. And that's pretty broad. So, for example, if somebody wants to write a book, okay, so I'll help them with that. Now, a creativity coach, we're not teaching them the craft of whatever it is you're doing. You know, I'm not teaching somebody how to write a book, but we get their books written, you know, and or I've had clients who've gotten their first albums put out, their first CDs put out, or I've worked with, you know, established artists who just want to take their creativity further, you know, because even really, like, you know, I worked with one guy who was an international photographer. He taught workshops all over the world, and he still felt like there were, you know, of course, things that he wanted to expand on, new things he wanted to do. So we did some good work too. So that's one part of what I do. And another part that I love to do is to help people get their creative businesses going, like in particular online businesses going, because there's so much available online, and that feels super creative as well, which I know that's how you and I met, you know, is through online coaching and online work. So now I'm really kind of, so I love helping people take their creative gifts, you know, and that can be super broad as well. Not just a traditional creative field. I mean, you can be a banker and be creative. Like, you know, creativity is in everything. So if people want to kind of bridge that gap, they want to take their creativity and start a business and start sharing their work and their voices in a bigger way, then I help them with that too, because it's kind of funny. It's kind of full circle. My business background from way back is really serving me now, and I'm loving it. It's kind of funny. It's like I did that way back then, not knowing how it would serve me in my life many years later. So I'm really enjoying melding those two sides of myself. I love the business stuff. I love the creativity. Putting the two together can just be really powerful.
And what you said back then was about possibly, you know, you can help a banker, for instance, become promote their creative side. Would that then be a view to, if somebody signed up for your program, I believe it's your program called 8 Weeks to Your Flourishing Online Creative Business. Is this the one?
That's right.
So if a banker kind of signed up for that, would he be signing up for that to at some point stop his banking career and become a creative entrepreneur in some respects? Or would it be to maintain his business as a banker and then possibly, I don't know, write a book on the side or something? How do you approach people that have specific needs like that?
That's a great question. And that's one I get all the time. And I'm so glad you asked that for people listening, because that really depends on the person. You know, I've worked with people who've done incredible creative things alongside their full-time demanding jobs and families and then I've known some people where the right choice was to leave their job and to dive full-time into their creative passion or work. So, you know, that really depends on the person and what's right for them, but you can do it whatever way, you know, it's all good. It all works.
I suppose that's the beauty of it, is the fact that, for instance, take Mr. Banker Man, you know, he might come to you and say, Lauren, I want to become more creative. And you start something as like a side passion for him. And then when he sees it coming into life and to fruition, and then he might think, my goodness, I can do this, you know,
right.
What better way to then spend the rest of his life doing something that he's so passionate about?
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, that's so true. In fact, I think sometimes, like in my case, you know, people hear, oh, well, you quit your job to become a musician. That was right for me at the time, but that's not right for everybody. And that can put a lot of pressure on your creative work sometimes to quit before you're ready or before you have some kind of plan or support. So we get into that with the coaching too, if that's appropriate and that's what people need. You know, because again, everybody's life circumstances are different, but yeah, you can definitely be creative no matter what's going on in your life. You know, that expression, if you want something done, ask a busy person. I love that expression. Yeah. Because I've seen people do incredible things with 30 minutes a day. Really?
When you're driven and focused, and you know, the great thing is with this course where I met you on, It was so all-consuming, and I found that my creativity just dried up because I didn't have time to step back from it long enough to think, that's a really good idea, or you get these little gems that you think, oh my goodness, that's going to be such a cool part to put into the course, or this is what I need to do. And I had none of that at the end because I was just exhausted trying to get through the end of the course. And now I've had about just under about 5 days away from it. And I mean, to be quite honest, all I've done is catch up around the house and the garden, attacking my jungle that's now looking more like a garden. But having had that time away from the intensity of the course, I was driving the children to school today, and I was on the way back. It was like, oh my gosh, that's such a clever idea. And I had all my Trello board. I don't know if you've ever used Trello, but I use Trello. Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. And I came home and I filled an entire list full of, on my Trello board, of ideas that I have got for my next product that I'm going to put out. And it's just with having, a time away from the busyness sometimes that it allows our creative juices to flow. And actually that leads me on to, I downloaded your freebie off your website, which is 5 quick ways to supercharge your creativity and make your best work ever. And honestly, I would recommend anyone, if you're thinking of following a creative passion, to download it, because it actually makes jolly good sense. But I think, was it number three, take a break? And it really worked for me.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that, because I actually wrote a blog post about the importance of taking creative breaks, because it's so true. I've experienced it too. And let's face it, I mean, we're a driven society, and creatives love to work. I mean, we're passionate, we're driven, it's fun to work, but it's so good. It's so good to take those breaks and do exactly like what you said, when you said you wrote stuff down in Trello, to have some kind of system for capturing ideas so that they don't go away. Like, there's a lot of times when we can't just stop everything and follow an inspiration, or else we'd never get anything done, right? So we have to have a system for capturing things, and then you can just go back to them, one by one, and address them.
I mean, without going into intensive detail about your 8 weeks to your flourishing online creative business course, can you give listeners an idea of what they're likely to expect from it and what they're likely to get out of it?
Yeah, 8 weeks to your flourishing online creative business. It's a group program, and each week there's a live class that I present, and it's structured because everybody's schedules are busy, so you don't have to worry if you can't attend live. But for those who can, they can attend live. For those who can't, there's a recording, and we go into real depth each week on something, and it's an opportunity for people to really get down to setting up their businesses, their creative businesses, because it can take years to do it on your own, or to try to find the time, or to know what to work on next, or to get that support. So working as a group can be super powerful. There's a live Q&A every week for people to ask questions to me directly. And people also can email me anytime, because sometimes there are times when you get stuck and you don't want to just, stop everything. You need to get an answer and move forward. So there's unlimited support basically for 8 weeks. And it's a really, by the end of that, people will really know, they'll have their businesses up and running and have just a really solid foundation. Basically taking stuff that I've learned that's taken me years to kind of put together and piece together and learn, and put it into 8 weeks in a clear, accessible way, so everybody can approach it from different levels.
And is it designed for somebody to actually create a creative business as a result of it, or could they do it for a hobby, for instance?
They absolutely can. Again, it's everybody's circumstances are different. I mean, I emphasize setting up a business that's profitable. I'm sure everybody, whether it's a hobby or not, appreciates that, right? So I set it up, and how far you take it and how far you invest in it, is entirely up to you. But this is designed to be, to be a profitable business that you could potentially move into full time. And again, that depends on each person.
Sure. And what sort of tools would you advise people to use in order to kind of set up a creative business? Do they need to, sort of purchase specific packages aside of your business, aside of your program, or, is it all included in what you offer?
Yeah, no, I mean, to set up a business, there are always costs. And so I present that in the program for each area that we cover. Like, you know, some people are going to come in with websites already. Some people are going to come in and have no idea how to set up a website or what they want it to be called. So, you know, people are going to be coming in at different, you know, and websites are just a very tiny part of it because there's other things we'll cover. But I'm, you know, I give everybody all the information so that they can choose what's right for them and explore. So the cost of things can really vary, and it'll depend on each person and what they want to invest in. But again, I have, you know, I have stuff for everybody, people on a budget, people who want to invest a little more, you know, there'll be different options.
That sounds like a very global business, a very global coaching package.
Yeah, well, I just know that everybody's coming in at different places, you know, and it's kind of like when I used to teach yoga, it was the exact same thing. You know, people would come in from very, very different backgrounds. I'd have professional gymnasts, and I'd have, you know, people who had trouble sitting on the floor. And, you know, you just meet people where they are and give them what they need. And so I approach, you know, the teaching of whatever it is I'm teaching the same way.
And what's your dream vision for your business, Lauren?
The dream vision for my business?
Yeah.
We just switched gears quickly. I would just love to do this more and more because honestly, I just want to help as many people as I can and to help them find their voices and express their voices, because I know from my own experience how powerful that can be and how life-changing. And honestly, that's adding beauty to the world. That's making the world a better place, which I think at the end of the day, we all have that aspiration. How can we make the world a better place? Well, we share with ourselves, and by expressing our creative voices, we're doing that. So the more that I can do that, the bigger way that I can do that, you know, just feels really good. This work feels really aligned to what I'm doing. And that's what I want for people, is to find work that feels aligned to them, for them as well.
Well, I think that's a great segue for us to play your song, Superhero. And this is just incredible, because this is the first time I've had a guest on the Flourish and Thrive show who gets to play one of her own songs. She wrote it and she sings it, and I love it. It's called Superhero, and it is sung by the vivacious and stunningly beautiful Lauren LaPointe. So, Lauren, we'll catch up just after we've listened to Superhero.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Still the same.
Lauren LaPointe. So, Lauren, what does your song mean to you, and what inspired you to write Superhero?
There's kind of a funny story behind it, but this song was written a few years ago. There was some superhero movie that came out, and I actually don't remember which one, but my husband's a real, he loves all the superhero movies, and he wanted to go to like the opening night. You know, they have a midnight show here when a show opens, and I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay home and write songs, and he's like, no, come. So he bribed me. He got one of those big bars of dark chocolate, which that's my weakness. You know, the organic chocolate. Off I went to the movies, and by the end of this, it was a really long one. It was like one of those 3-hour movies, and by the end of it, for some reason, the chocolate was all gone, if you can imagine. And so we came home, and it's really the middle of the night at this point, and my husband crashes, but I'm wired from this chocolate. So I pick up my guitar, and I write what I swear it's like the weirdest song I've ever written in my life. And I got up the next day, and I was like, what was that? And this was a superhero song, right? And so I shelved it for like a year or something. I was like, this song is so weird. And then when I went to go record my CD, I went to Nashville, worked with this amazing team of people. They're incredible. And whenever you record a CD, they always ask, and I love this because they're always, you go with your list of songs that you have a plan, right? Don't we always have a plan, no matter what it is? But they always say, like, do you have a few extra songs? Just, you know, just play just in case. And it's funny, every time I record a CD, this always happens. But so, you know, so I played this weird superhero song, and they loved it, and they really encouraged me to record it. And I'm like, okay. So I recorded it and started to like it a little better. And then I started playing it out at my shows because, you know, I'd gotten this little bolster from the Nashville crew. And it felt so empowering. It was just this fun kind of, you know, I don't know. It just felt really good to sing it and perform it. And I saw the effect it had on people. So then I finally liked my own song. And then it became the title track for the CD. So it just goes to show with our creative work or it doesn't matter what we're doing, creative work or whatever. You know, sometimes we don't know when we're not always the best judge of our own work. And the opposite can be true. Sometimes, you know, you do something and you think it's amazing and it kind of isn't. That's happened too. But so for Superhero, that's how that came about. So now it's just this fun, upbeat, empowering song that I love to share with people. And I'm glad that I got out of my own way so that, you know, I could share it with people. Yeah.
I love it. I love the lyrics and I love the song or the melody that accompanies it. It's uplifting. It's and it's quite fun as well. It's brilliant. No, you need to go to the
chocolate
the cinema with your husband more often and eat a huge amount of chocolate. It clearly
works. I think that's the key is the chocolate. Just eat more chocolate. Yeah.
Thank you. Not eating enough chocolate. What do you think is the number one reason that people don't fulfill their creative dreams?
Oh, number one reason is tough, but
yeah.
I mean, there's
top three.
Yeah. That might be better. It's hard to pick. It's hard for creatives to pick one thing whenever we always stall like a deer in the headlights. Like, let's see. Well, I know, you know, a lot of times there's fear of success, there's fear of failure, I should say. But I think deep down, then it's even more profound is fear of success because, you know, and we're not always consciously aware of it. But like, what if you actually start doing your creative work, whether it be like, you know, singing out in public or taking your business, you know, making an online business or whatever it might be. There's this deep fear of success. Like how would my life change? You know, and you worry about how your relationships with people around you, how that would change. You know, even though we all want it on a certain level, deep down, there are things that are holding us back. So that's what I do in my coaching is we get in there and we kind of dig that stuff out, bring it to light and deal with it. So it's a process, you know, it's there for everybody too, I think.
I think, I wrote a blog post about the fear of success. I can't actually remember what the title was, but fear of success was in it. And it's something that I think a lot of us suffer from, but we don't actually realize that we're suffering from it until somebody suggests that we may actually have that fear. Because, you know, there are certain goals that we want to achieve in life, but particularly when you're putting yourself out there and, you know, you either prove yourself on a public scale or you completely fail on a public scale.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is about not seeing it as failure, but just learning from the experience and you shifting and tweaking and, you know, learning from those things that don't resonate and doing more of what does work.
That's completely true. And that's so powerful because imagine if everybody gave up the first time they failed at something. I mean, no, like, I don't think anybody would get anywhere. Like, you talk to any successful person, whatever field it is. And, you know, there's a string of disappointments and failures, you know, or let's call them learning experiences, because that word failure can be pretty triggering for people. But behind them. And so again, that's why like coaching or, you know, things like that can really help people through that, because there are disappointments. I mean, I'm sure you've had them. I've had them. And it's just learning to get the right support and to learn from them and move past. So that you can, you know, get to that place where you can really share the stuff you want to share.
And does mindset feature in your coaching program at all?
Hugely. I mean, it's got to. I think, it's got to, right? I mean, for everything. Yeah. I mean, for the business programs that I do, you know, there's a lot of business stuff, of course. I mean, I love online marketing and things like that, but all of that starts with mindset, really. We can't do anything. You know, I could teach people all day long how to do all the technical aspects of setting up an online business, but if the mindset's not there, it's not going to happen. You're not going to succeed. So I think that's like a core, like a base of everything we do.
How would you, you know, if somebody's listening to this and thinking, I don't even know what mindset is, how would you go about educating them on your program, your coaching program?
That's true. In fact, mindset's a very industry kind of word, so a lot of people don't know. Mindset is just how you think about things, how you approach it. It goes into your deep core beliefs and the stuff that you don't even know is there, like I was just talking about. So that's what your mindset is, because that can impact what you're working on. And we're not even aware of it. It's so interesting. You know, we're sitting there working on our work, whatever it might be, but there's stuff that's always getting in the way. We think we just have attention difficulties. Let's say we get to a certain part of our work that's hard, quote, hard, right? You know, and we're like, oh, it's just really hard for me. I'm not good at it, blah, 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 whatever it is, you know. But a lot of times there's a mindset piece that's underneath that that's getting in the way. It's really fun to dig that stuff out and look at it and then, you know, set it aside.
It so is. And it's banish so liberating. It. It is. It's liberating when you do it, because, you know, recently there are times when I think I would just love to go and make another coffee, knowing that I really don't need one. And I think,
I
back to the desk.
Yeah. Even when you're aware of them, even when you're completely aware, like, I think the difference is that you become aware of them. They never go away. And I don't mean that to be discouraging. What I mean is that you just slowly become aware of these different things that we do and that come up. And so we know how to deal with them. Like you said, like you being aware that you don't really need a cup of coffee, you're just trying to avoid something. I mean, that's huge, right? It takes a long time to get to that place where you can recognize what's going on.
It does.
Yeah.
And I'm a hypnotherapist. I should be able to hypnotize myself for all these silly subconscious things that I do, but actually I don't really have the time to do it either. But you know, it is. I think an awareness of your patterns is a huge benefit, because then you can make that choice. Are you going to go and have the fifth cup of coffee, which you really don't need, or are you going to sit and slam it out? But you feel so good when you overcome those problems that you're kind of trying to procrastinate around somehow.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. The stuff that we dread the most when we actually accomplish it, it feels incredible. It feels just so incredible. That's why we have to do it. Yeah.
There's a book called Eat That Frog, and I can't remember who wrote it. It's somebody quite famous. And it's, do you know what? I read it a few years ago, and it is so true. And it's basically you get the worst chore or the worst task of your day done first. So whether it's phoning the boss to hand in your notice, or whether, you know, whatever it might be, making that tricky phone call, having that difficult meeting, whatever the thing is that you dread doing the most, get that done first. And do you know what? It gives you so much clarity. It frees up energy and focus for the rest of the day, because it's not a niggling concern in your mind anymore. And also, mm-hmm. you just feel so great because you've done it and it's out of the way and you kind of feel empowered. And I don't really like using that word because everybody uses empowered now, but it does make you feel empowered. It sort of, mm-hmm. you know, it clears the way for focus and success for the rest of the day. So, and I wish I could remember, I know it's a man and he wrote it, but anybody, read that book, Eat That Frog. It is absolutely superb and it makes good common sense.
Oh, that sounds good. I love that title, and I'll have to look that up because
yeah,
because it's so true. Because otherwise, you spend the day with it hanging over your head. And one of my teachers used the term. He called it being in the maybe state. Maybe I'll get to this. Maybe I'll get to that. And what happens is you spend day after day after day in the maybe state. So we use that a lot for people who are trying to work on do their creative work. Maybe I'll get in some writing today. Maybe I'll get, you know, yeah. or whatever it might be. And that's a terrible feeling, you know, like to just walk around like that. It makes you not able to be fully present with what's going on in your life. You can't enjoy the things that you're doing as much, you know. So like just like you said, if you can knock that off first, you know, people say for people who have to-do lists, I love lists, by the way, for people who have to-do lists, you know, yeah, do the hard thing first, you know, and then it's amazing. Then you feel really good. And yes, that word empowered. And you can, you know, you can do all these other things afterwards. You feel like a superhero.
You do. Superhero.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and also
exactly.
Maybe you're already giving yourself an out. If you say, yes, I am going to do this, don't say mm-hmm. I should or maybe I'll do it. If you say, yes, yeah. I am going to do it, you're kind of
right.
committed to yourself. And, you know, your whole mindset is entirely positive instead of a little bit wishy-washy and
right, right.
Now, Lauren, you've written a book on creativity. What's it called and how do we get hold of it?
It's called 21 Days to Creativity, How to Develop the Creative Practice, a Creative Practice, sorry. It's been a while since I looked at the title. And it's on Amazon. I know. Yeah. So, and it's a 21-day plan because, you know, it takes 21 days to create a habit. So
yeah.
if you do something for 21 days, that's what the science and research shows. And I, you know, and I've experienced it too. It's just a matter of getting into the routine. So what I do in this program is I encourage people to spend 20 minutes a day, which is, we can all find 20 minutes a day, right? That's no matter how busy we are, it's,
sure.
it's possible. And if you spend time in your creativity for 20 minutes a day, and each day we kind of go over different things, but then by the end of 21 days, boom, you have your habit and you're good to go. Because that's one of the biggest things for creatives is to try to get it, make it a lifetime habit. That's really what I want for people is, you know, we don't just do it once in a while. Oh, I'm going to have time, you know, the end of the summer to work on my,
yeah.
my creativity. You know, like it's, you can fit it into your day or to change that mindset so we're not fitting it into our day. So it's just part of our day, you know, it's not fitting it in. Yeah. Anyway, I went off on a tangent there, but that's, yeah, but that's the premise of that book is to get you on that path.
Well, I will put a link to your book when I create the show notes. And so is it sort of a roadmap then? As it's a 21-day program, do you suggest mm-hmm. that people do a specific thing every day? Is that how it works?
Yeah, and the book will outline that, and it's very short and accessible. Like you don't have to sit there and read like a novel. It's designed to be accessible. You can read your little bit for each day. There are some intro parts that will explain how it works and how to prepare for it, and then each day you just read your little bit, which is again very short because I know we're mm-hmm. busy people. And when you start to change your habits. You know, when you start to try again to fit something in, I know how hard that can be. So you want to start small. I think a mistake a lot of us make is we really want to do something. So we get really excited and say, I'm going to do this for an hour a day from now on. And that's really hard to
yeah.
start like that, you know, and then of
yeah.
course it doesn't happen. And then we get discouraged and we just don't get back to, you know, so I don't want that to happen. So 20 minutes a day for 21 days.
That sounds very doable. I think I might have to get that book. I hadn't realized you'd written a book, actually, until I looked on your website this afternoon. So,
okay.
Well, this afternoon for me, probably morning for you, being as I'm in the UK and you're over in the
That's right. That's right. Well, it's 2:30 here. So.
Oh, is it? Oh, you've
yeah.
got home.
We're afternoon. It's afternoon, yeah.
Oh, I'm nicely into my evening now at 7:30.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. Lauren, what does living your best life mean to you then, if you could give our listeners some tips?
I think it's just doing the things that you love and that fill you up, you know, and, you know, obviously doing work that you love fits into that. But, you know, but I'm trying to be careful with the word success because, you know, in our culture, success means wildly rich and working a really demanding job. Now that might be your best life, but that might not be for everybody either, you know? So really it's about feeling, you know, finding the things that you're meant to do while you're here, surround yourself with people that you love and who support you, and finding a way to give your best to the world, really. Because we all know how that feels. When we're giving our best, we're feeling that. You know, we get it back, right?
Yeah. When you're in the zone. And how do you manage to balance life with your singing and songwriting career and then creating and running these coaching programs? How do you, what's the magic in your life to find the balance?
Well, you know, I'll be honest with people. I'm constantly working on balance, you know, and, you know, I think I've achieved it to a certain degree, but I think it's something that, you know, some people will say, oh, you know, everything's works out perfectly. And they do kind of complement each other. Like if I'm performing shows, those are usually in the evening, and I work on my, my coaching business usually during the day. So, you know, so time-wise, it certainly works out that way. And they do feed each other. They complement each other a lot. You know, if I'm on my computer a lot, then I can go and perform music, which is more physical. And, you know, so there is lots of balance there. But honestly, I'm constantly balancing and checking in with myself, making sure that I'm not getting too much in one area. You know, if I've been on my computer too long, I get outside. Kind of like what you said, Kate, when you said you had to go and take like 5 days or something and just take a break. You know, I'm very conscious of that. Now, I didn't used to be, you see. I used to be, you know, like work all the time. I do love working, but it's really important to find that balance. So yeah, so I'm constantly juggling that and doing my best. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like you've got the balance spot on at the moment. You seem to be creating creativity very creatively.
I love that. Let's say that 3 times in a row. Yeah. I'm not even going to attempt it.
No, me neither. So what would your top 3 insights be to leave our listeners with? What would you suggest that for them to live their best lives themselves? What would the top 3 insights be?
Yeah, I would, you know, I always encourage people just to keep learning and growing. That's a big one. Like even if you think you found your thing, keep expanding on that just because it feels really good. We never want to settle or get into a box, you know?
Yeah.
And whatever we're doing in our life. So that's a big one. And just keep trying to share your gifts with the world, whatever that might be, because we all have them, whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be like something like singing or making art or whatever, you know, like I know people who are incredible cooks or, you know, I have friends who are incredible mothers or, you know, there's all sorts of different ways we can share our gifts with the world. So just to find that, to recognize what your gifts and to share that. And that's two, I guess number 3 is don't worry about getting it all figured out. Like, you know, life is a journey. So sometimes it can be really easy to be hard on ourselves. Like, oh, I need to be here, you know, but look at where you're at right now and, you know, think of things that you can be really grateful for. But still keep, you know, moving, learning, growing ahead, but also taking time to appreciate where we are right at this exact moment, you know, so we're not striving all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I like all those 3. They're very open and they're all very much sort of to giving towards other people, even learning for yourself. But by learning, you can contribute to the greater good, can't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, you told me your favorite quote. Do you know it off by heart or do you want me to read it out to you?
I'm looking at, I know I sent it to you. I've got it right in front of me. So yeah. Do you want me to read it or do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's so many favorite quotes. I just picked one because again, picking one thing is tough. But it's don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs are people who have come alive. And that's by Howard Thurman.
Yay. I love it. So what made you choose that quote?
Well, that just seems to go in line. We're talking about creativity coaching mostly, and that really seems in line with that because, you know, creativity coaching is about finding what makes you come alive and going and doing it, whether it be by being more creative or by, you know, creating a business that lets you share your creativity in a bigger way. That's really what makes us individually come alive. And when we individually come alive, you know, we're helping the world as well. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And what inspires you most in life, Lauren?
What inspires me most? So many things. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Just being around people who are following their passion is super inspiring to me. You know, and again, I see it in everybody. Like a lot of people don't consciously recognize that they're doing it, and that's okay. But yeah, just seeing people like living and doing their thing and putting it out there is super inspiring for me. And it's a constant reminder to me to keep doing my thing, you know, and to keep developing that. So.
And I guess also the wonderful thing about that is helping people follow their passion is that they can do that when they sign up for your coaching program.
Yes, absolutely. We really get in there. So we talk about the big, more big picture stuff like you and I have kind of talked about today, but we really get into nitty gritty. I love details. I love teaching all the little techie things that can sometimes trip people up when they're creating mm-hmm. their businesses. I love all that stuff. So Kate knows because we've worked together on stuff. So So I love to get in there and get into the details and all the different things that you need to get your online business up and going. But keeping behind all of that, keeping that big picture as to why you're doing it, making sure it's authentic, making sure it's aligned to what you want to do. Sometimes that piece gets missing, goes missing in our pursuit of all of these details. So we want to keep that big picture.
Yeah, I think it's so important to do something that's true to ourselves. I think when we're younger, you know, we make choices because we feel that we should go that particular route, or, you know, we should do it because maybe mom or dad wants us to do that, or maybe they did that and we're supposed to follow in their footsteps, or, you know, your group of friends maybe all want to go and be accountants and you just like want to run naked on the beach.
Right, exactly. I love
that. I think it's so important to do what is absolutely in alignment with your own dreams and your own passions, because we're all so different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we only get one life, hopefully. Well, as far as we know it.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's so important that we do live in alignment with who we truly are. And I think your coaching program is hopefully able to highlight that for individuals that might be stuck in a career that they're not enjoying, but they they're doing it because they need that security. They want the pension,
right.
They want the finance, blah, 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 blah. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe if they followed their true passion, they can find a way to create a successful business out of something that they absolutely
mm-hmm.
love doing.
Mm-hmm. And the world needs that. And it's amazing how things can line up. Like I saw it for me with the music. Now, I'm, you know, there was lots of hard work in there too, but things really start to line up when you start to do what you're meant to do. So this is what this 8-week program and all of my coaching programs are designed to do, is to get people really just deep diving into what it is they're supposed to be doing and having them do it and manifest that.
Now, you mentioned you do other coaching programs as well. So you've got the 8 weeks to your flourishing online creative business, which is the 8-week program. And then
mm-hmm.
you do, was it one-to-one coaching programs?
Yeah, I do one-on-one coaching with whether people want to work on their creative work. So we have kind of a track that focuses on that. Or if you want to work on your just on business stuff. The nice thing with the one-to-ones is you can really tailor it to what each person needs, right? So I have those as well. And there will be a group coaching program for the creativity coming up probably in the fall. Probably October is what I'm looking at right now. So stay tuned for that. But for now, if somebody wants to work just on their creativity, we can work one-on-one, and I've just seen really, really incredible things happen when people work one-on-one with a coach. I've experienced it, and it's just been such an honor to see the people that I get to work with really develop their voices and put that out in the world. So yeah, so either the creativity or working on your creative business, because I love to do both.
And you help people map out the business aspect fully as well as just doing the sort of creativity stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The business one is focused more on the business parts of it, you know. And yeah. I have an outline for that on my website at intentionalcreative.com. You can go and see my different coaching programs, and I really spell out in detail what we cover, like what each week, which module the different, you know, is going to focus on. So if people are wondering what kind of things, are we going to talk about branding? Are we going to talk about websites? Are we going to talk about online? You know, some people might want to learn more about online teaching or coaching, which I've experienced with both of those things. So that's included in there as well for people who want that. So there's a lot of different things, and you can see that on my website.
And so what made you go digital, online, instead of face-to-face?
I've done lots of face-to-face, you know, I've done creativity workshops face-to-face and you know, but the nice thing, you know, and I'm still, you know, open to doing those. It's just, there's a lot of limitations to that. You know, you have to find the right
yeah.
space and, you know, to get everybody's schedules lined up, and you're limited by the people who are in a certain geographic area. The nice thing about going online is you can really connect and reach a lot of people. When I started teaching online, it was really powerful. I heard from people in countries where they didn't have some of these things, and they were just
yeah.
like, I'm so glad, you know, and that's really powerful. You're like, okay. So yeah, so you can work with people from anywhere. We're no longer limited by geography, you know, we can connect all over the place. It's really exciting. It's very creative, I think, the whole online world.
And yeah, and it makes you able to help so many more people. And, you know, I think
yeah.
if you've got something like you're offering, you know, for creatives to set up their entire business from, you know,
mm-hmm.
not just deciding what they want to do as a creative career, but to
mm-hmm.
actually physically create that business and all the little
right.
The tools and the nuances that are required in order to set it up
yeah.
from the very beginning right to a successful practice. And you have a duty to share that,
right? And you know, and I know you know, Kate, like there's a lot of behind the scenes details to setting up a business. So you know, I call it the back end stuff. There's a lot of back end stuff. So we get into detail with that. I actually love teaching that. So people will be covered in that area. And again, what I really want to focus on is not just having people create a business and then it just sits there. Like, you know, a lot of people create websites and then they just kind of sit there. But I mean, you know, the bigger piece, I think, really is how to get people to that website, how to get people in front of whatever it is you're offering. And that's online marketing. And that's really something I love to specialize in. So we get into that too. You know, how to get people for whatever it is you're offering, because it's different for each person and each creative field, and how to get people in front of your product or service that you're offering.
Joe, the marketing is so important, because you can create the best ever, whatever it might be, whether it's a painting, a book,
yeah,
musical CD. But if you can't market it, you can't
mm-hmm.
send it out to the world. And I think marketing
right.
is so important. You know, I've come across things that have been marketed really well, and actually, in all honesty, the product's a load of rubbish, but it's just been
right.
marketed so well that they're
yeah.
doing really well out of it. And
yep.
vice
yeah.
versa, you know, I've come across people that have created just gems of courses
mm-hmm.
or books, and they don't know how to market it. And
right.
you know, in a way, it's kind of, there's nothing out there. They're not falling on the right customer base, because they don't know
yeah.
how to find them. And
right.
that's such a tragedy.
And it's hard, especially when it's your creative work. It's there's a lot of work that needs to be done with being able to get comfortable selling your own creative work. You know, it's a lot easier
yeah.
to sell something else, or to sell like some external product, like here's a pen I want you to buy. You know, that's,
yeah.
we can learn how to do that. But when it's your own creative expression, there's a bunch of stuff that goes along with that. And, you know, I had to embrace that when I started out my music career. I had to learn, you know, singer-songwriters make money from selling CDs at shows. You know, that's where a lot of our income comes from. So you have
yeah.
to get comfortable selling yourself, right? And a lot
yeah.
of singer-songwriters are more introverted and whatnot. So it's you know, it's a challenge. So, you know, so now I've learned I love sales and marketing, and I really love to share and help and teach others how to learn to love it too. Usually what it means when people say they don't like to sell or they're not good at marketing or something, it usually just means that they don't know how, right? They haven't learned the
yeah.
right techniques and they haven't gotten comfortable with it. So, so that's something that I like to go over in my coaching programs as well.
that is such a powerful element. I just think you're going to have so much success with that, Lauren. So, as a final question, now, everybody I ask often gets confused with this. I must work out a way of wording it better, but I'll give it to you as I give it to everybody else.
Okay.
What advice would your 80-year-old self give your current self right now?
My 80-year-old self to my current self. Eat more vegetables. That's probably not what you're looking for on this tip.
No.
I actually love vegetables. Yeah, broccoli is tied with chocolate, so that's covered. Probably maybe less chocolate. No. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about food. I must be getting hungry. Let's see. My 80-year-old self. You know, I instantly thought of this conversation I had several years ago. I was doing like a phone customer service job many years ago. And I remember having this conversation with this woman in her 80s, and it just kind of changed my life, you know? And I remember she said to me, she said, I make sure I learn something new every day. She goes, I try to do something new, learn something new every single day. And it was so profound to me. I mean, I was really young at the time. She was in her 80s. And she was sharp and interesting, and that really stuck with me. So so that's something, you know, that I try to do, and I probably need to just remind myself. So 80-year-old self telling me, make sure you try something new, do something new every single day.
That's so profound, isn't it? I remember meeting my daughter has singing lessons. She's a classical singing grade 8 now.
Lovely.
And,
oh, good for her.
Her former teacher, her father was in his 70s and was learning Chinese. Or it might have been Japanese. I can't quite remember. I think it might have been Japanese, actually. And every time I popped round there and saw him, and he'd got his notebook out, and he was learning the various signs that they use, and he was learning how to say it. And he was coming on so well. And he was going to go and visit the country, which I think is possibly why he was trying to learn the language. But, you know, I mean, his English, you don't just take up Japanese because, I'll learn the lingo before I go for a couple of weeks, and I'll be able to ask for a beer and chips. You know, it's just you just don't
right.
do that. And, right. I just thought it was absolutely fascinating. But he got so much pleasure out of it.
I love that. Yeah. See, that's super inspiring, too. Right. Yeah,
Isn't
that's
it?
That's a great example of that. And sometimes we can just do new things. Like I find myself, in the big ways, I tend to take some risks, like leaving my job to pursue music, or like I left Canada to see if it worked, if my relationship with my husband would work out. And like, you know, so I do some of these big things, but in my day-to-day life, I can tend to be a little bit regimented. And so and I catch myself that way. Sometimes it'll just be like, drive a different way home, go to a store you haven't gone to before, like little things like that, you know, can really just shake it up. So even if we can't do the big things all the time, or, you know, sit down and learn a new language every day, which would be a really good thing to do, but yeah, just little things like that can just keep us from, you know, because especially, you know, the older we get, and let's face it, every single person, even when you're young, every day we're getting older, and things start to settle, you know, and we do get that we get into those little boxes. So we just want to keep our walls a little flexible. You know,
well, it's good for our brain, isn't it? It does make it better when we've got things go, you know, when we do things slightly differently to the normal. So just remind us, Lauren, the show's nearly wrapping up. So how do people connect with you?
Yeah, they can come to my website, intentionalcreative.com. And all the info's there. You can check out my programs, or, you know, just shoot me a message and say hello. Come on Facebook. I'm on Facebook all the time, and I have a couple Facebook groups too, that if people like community, and they're welcome to join those as well. So yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I'll make sure I link it up in the show notes for today's episode. Lauren, I appreciate you coming on the show today, and just great job with everything you've done. And I'm so excited to see how everything works out for you. All links to Lauren, me, and this interview will be posted on the Flourish Therapy Facebook page. And you can find that at facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk. And they'll also be on my radio show page, which you can find on the flourishtherapy.co.uk website. Thank you so much, Lauren, for being my intentionally creative guest on the Flourish and Thrive show today. And to our listeners, thank you all so much for being here. This is episode 11 of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. Kate Hartley of flourishtherapy.co.uk. Lauren LaPointe was my inspiring guest, and you can find more about Lauren at intentionalcreative.com. And until next time, goodbye from us both. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Kate.
I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.